too. I drove, we had a rental car there. I just wanted to play better. And I grew up driving. That's kind of tough.
Trying to get our seat.
But people are passing much more.
There you go.
Planning Council. My name is John Weingarth. I live in Surgeonsville in Hunterdon County.
Jack Schreier, Moss County Freeholder.
Debbie Pascarelli, Warren County Representative, Greenwich Township.
This is Scott Whitenack, public member, Morristown.
I'm sorry, Tim Dorian, public member.
Eric Peterson, Hunterdon County Freeholder.
Mimi Letts, Precipity, Morris County.
Tracy Coraluccio, public member, Hunterdon County.
Anyone on the phone? Okay. We do have a quorum. This meeting was advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. All who wish, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on the agenda is the minutes of the April 5th meeting, which are in our packets.
I'll move the minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments or corrections? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Uh-oh. Okay, then we can't pass them because we only have 8 members at the moment. So.
Kurt's on his way.
Okay. Do that again in a few minutes. I'd like to welcome Eileen Swan as our new executive director. And probably everyone in the room knows her, but welcome. We're delighted you're here.
Thank you.
A couple of items. The agenda for today's meeting was on the table. Members of the public, you should have the agenda. We are going to have an executive session, which you'll see on the agenda, which will be after the public comment period. For the executive session, we the council will stay in this room and we'll ask that the public leave at that point. After the executive session, the only thing we will do is have a very brief summary of the topics that were discussed in the executive session and then adjourn. But you're welcome to stay if you want to stay for that part, stay outside for that part.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. As everyone knows, William Cogger has been nominated by the governor to fill one of the vacant seats on the Highlands Council, and he is scheduled to be considered by the Senate Judiciary Committee today. If they approve his nomination, then he would be considered by the full Senate in June, and might or might not be confirmed in time for, probably would not be confirmed for in time for our next meeting, which is scheduled to be June 7th at 4 in the afternoon. Before I ask if other members have comments, let's try the minutes again. So we had a motion to approve the minutes of April 5th meeting and a second for that. Glenn, did you have any comments?
No.
Okay. All those in favor of the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Debbie abstains, so they pass. Do other members have comments or items to report at this time?
I'd like to just comment, Mr. Chairman, on something that arose at the last meeting. There was a discussion briefly. I think Mr. Walton raised the issue of the request to the governor to put a moratorium on all development essentially in the planning area. And we didn't resolve that issue at this level. I think that you suggested you were going to send a letter. Had you sent that yet?
No.
Okay. The Morris County Department of Planning has put together a compilation of...
Yes, we did send a letter.
Applications for development in Morris County in both the planning and the preservation area, as well as in the planned development zone that the council has proposed in the draft RFP. So I'll just give you a summary. I have full details here, which I'd like to share with the council. I'll give it to staff for distribution. The details are rich with all of the absence of development in Morris County. And when we spoke about this at the Freeholder meeting yesterday, the comment was that the sky is not falling, despite the fact that there had been some discussion and the request to the governor suggested that development is running rampant. Development apparently is not running rampant. Just in summary, in the planning area, where, as we all know, development can take place, along with all of the other restrictions that are placed on it, in 2005, this is a comparison, 2005 and 2006. In 2005, there were 103 lots proposed for development on vacant land consisting of 371 acres. In 2006, there were 35 lots on vacant land consisting of 214 acres, hardly a massive development. In the planning area, non-residential development, 2005, 694,000 square feet on vacant land was proposed to be developed. In 2006, that 694 dropped to 237,000 square feet, which was the equivalent to Scotland, exactly about two times the Morristown Green, hardly again a significant area for development. In the preservation area, where development is, of course, extremely curtailed, 2005, residential development was applied for 35 lots, 364 acres. In 2006, zero projects. Non-residential in the preservation area in 2005, zero projects. In 2006, one project, which was a church. So clearly, the sky was not falling, and I'm happy to share these details with the staff.
Thank you. Next time on the agenda is a committee report, so usually do us the executive director's report. Do you have a preference?
No, my understanding was the committee reports would come before my report.
All right, so we'll do that. Natural resources.
Mr. Chairman, the Natural Resources Committee has met three times over the last month, working on processes and criteria for the review of wastewater management plan amendments and redevelopment proposals. And there are chair reports in the packages that are available to the public, which contain a lot of the details. You can imagine it's a significant, complex issue. I think the council recognizes that
where wastewater goes often development follows. So this is a very important issue in terms of carrying out our charge both for water supply, water quality, and natural resource protection, as well as promoting and ensuring smart growth occurs. There's also an added level of complexity in that wastewater management amendments are reviewed by the Department of Environmental Protection under their rules and are referred to us for our comments and opinion and recommendations. And there's an added wrinkle. That process will change in terms of the way we consider those projects and those proposals prior to the adoption of the Regional Management Plan and after. So we have been wrestling with all those issues, both the environmental management questions, the process for how the council ought to review amendments, which can go from very small projects with minor impacts or issues associated with them to very large ones, and trying to find a way to balance both the environmental protection charge and obligation we have with making that process as efficient as possible. So, and then just to add to the fun, we also worked through several amendments that are on the agenda today, which were representative of several types of projects we may see. One, again, really small, involving a project which is directly exempted from the Highlands Act, and then a larger project sponsored by Somerset County. I don't know how much detail you would like me to go into. There is, as I said, in the notes of the meeting, the chair reports a fairly large amount of detail. Generally, in the idea of how we would review these, the staff has recommended, and I think the committee was supportive of the idea that there be thresholds established, levels of review, that we would be able to establish what I would call an administrative process where the staff would review projects which are on their face consistent with the RMP standards and don't seem to raise problems. And then a slightly higher review for projects which are bigger, in which the committee itself would review and offer the recommendations to the DEP on those. And then lastly, ones which need to be, because of their nature, their scale, complexity and perhaps the controversial nature of them should be considered by the full council. And some of the criteria we talked about was the amount of wastewater generated, the existence of conservation easements, the size of the facility, the amount of land that's disturbed, whether or not there are extensions of lines in the areas that under the draft plan and the land use capability map might have policies which are contrary to the extension of those lines or at least would influence it. And we are continuing to work on the details of all that process. The staff has, I think, given us a lot of good information. I think the discussions we've had and the consideration that we went through of the two projects that are on the agenda today were enlightening in terms of some of the things we need to take into account. So we continue to work on that. I think we'll be coming back to the full council with those standards for the reviews fleshed out fairly soon. Second sort of major item that we've been working on are the reviews for projects which are redevelopment projects in nature. And again, many of the similar types of issues being discussed, the fact that the nature of the issues are going to be unique and varied in that. So we were trying to define where the council's both prerogatives and concerns are about resource protection, about smart growth promotion, how we review those, the fact that they are, by their nature, not exemptions, but variances often from some of the standards. And we've gone through that, and again, the details are in the report. Which I won't go through, lastly, as I said, we did consider the two, Valley View, which is a project in Chester, and the Naderer project, which is in Somerset County. I know, sir, of course, we said it yesterday by the council.
Questions?
Yeah. I have a question about where.
I should go first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The ladies.
What action, I couldn't tell from looking at the agenda, are these scheduled for action by the full council today? Somewhere on this agenda is just a process question.
I don't think we are going to consider them specifically. We've, you know, fashioned the recommendations, and I think they are encompassed by the resolution, which is a recommendation that the committee be able to deal with these types of amendments and then come back to full council with this recommendation about where those threshold breaks ought to be. So I think the idea would be we would, you know, thus provided to see where the committee, where our discussion came out, and to use them as examples as to how we would proceed.
Thank you.
But we do have two resolutions based on your discussions in the committee meetings, is that correct?
One resolution would say that the committee can make recommendations directly on these projects, and then if the resolution passed, the two recommendations we have in the package would be sent out.
That's correct.
Okay. I'd like to have counsel just give us a very brief summary of the legal implications here. I know that Mr. Dillingham has done his portion of that. Could you just do that?
Why don't we wait till we get to that item on the agenda, which, and then we'll go through the other committee reports, which will not be very technical.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then,
sure.
And then we'll get to that. And that'll be a good idea. The other committee reports, the personnel committee met since our last meeting, and we discussed possible changes to the office organizational chart, staff organizational chart. We discussed the possibility of the hope that we are going to be able to fill some extra positions, some vacant positions on the council staff, and that was all discussed. The TDR committee also met, Scott.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. I wasn't sure if you were aware that it did not make it onto the agenda, but the TDR committee did meet. Jeff LaJava and I had been trading phone calls for the last couple weeks discussing the situation or what our status was with the Integra.
Excuse me, sir. Is someone on the phone? Tahisha?
With the Integra company. So what I decided to do kind of at the last minute was call a meeting of the TDR committee together, and we met to discuss the ongoing contract negotiations with specific focus on the scoping of the contract in regards to the residential credit allotments, the possibility of us maybe keeping it in-house here, pulling it out of that contract, and also the need for research on the commercial credit allotment, and then how we can make the two transferable. That's important. We did not discuss any policy. We met briefly, and we also took the opportunity to bring Eileen up to speed. So that happened last week, last Thursday.
So that was an executive session because you were just discussing contractual issues.
Yes.
And is the committee planning to meet in public shortly?
Right? Yes, yes, we did discuss that we do need to set a date, and hopefully at that point we'll have a more firm grip on what we're doing as far as an outside contractor helping us. But that was purely the focus.
Okay. Okay. Executive Director's report.
Good morning, all. I would like to start by thanking the Council for giving me this opportunity to serve you and the State of New Jersey. This, in my opinion, is the most important planning initiative that is going on in the state, and obviously will have a huge impact on the state's future. So I am absolutely thrilled to have the opportunity to serve you and commit to you that I will do everything in my power to serve you well and serve the state's residents well. I'm coming to the close of my fourth week as your executive director, and I can tell you that it's been extremely busy. I am focused on getting to know the staff, getting to know where we are with the draft plan and the prioritization of tasks as we move forward to a final plan. I've also attended many of the outreach meetings that the council is runs as their norm, going out to municipalities, mostly in the evenings to meet with them, so that we meet with elected officials, various committees, and with members of the public. And that's been of inordinate value to me to, A, understand how the different staff members here present the work done to date and the work that we will be focusing on, and also to hear from members of the public, both the elected officials and the people who attend these meetings, to see what their concerns are, what questions they have, and so that helps us formulate our direction forward. I've also attended meetings such as the American Planning Association, had a conference in Philadelphia. I went down there with Tom and did a presentation on regional planning, along with the Netherlands and the Pinelands. Also attended the Land Trust Rally and did a presentation there again with Tom. So all of these have helped facilitate me in catching up to, you know, because I was a council member in the past, but a long time has elapsed, well, a long time in terms of a lifespan, really, 14 months down in Trenton, which has been of great value to me as well. But during, so this time has been spent catching up on where you are and getting to know, as I said, the staff a lot better. I will tell you that I'm very impressed by the expertise your staff possess. They are an incredible bunch of individuals who have professional capacity, but also a passion for the charge. And their commitment is very impressive. So I really look forward in working with them to build a very strong team approach to responding to your needs and delivering a plan to you and to the state. A couple of different things. I do want to ask council members to please see Kim in terms of your financial disclosure statements and ethics training, so to catch up on where you are individually. I think that would be a benefit to all of us moving forward. The chair referred to hopes and expectations for filling vacant positions, so it's with pleasure I tell you that Nathan McLean is now a full member of our staff. If Nathan is here, would you stand, please, Nathan, be recognised. Nathan has been working with us under the graduate program. He's an excellent member of our staff. We've considered him such, I believe, for a while, but now he is formally one of us. His GIS expertise is wonderful to have on board in Roger's unit. And we welcome him, and I think it's the first of many vacancies that I hope will be filled. So working very closely with Trenton and that, have established great contacts and expect to keep giving you good news in that area. But Roger's a great, Roger, congratulate you on getting Nathan into the team. And, and Nathan, it's great to have you on board officially. You questioned the TDR meeting. We are looking to have one in 3 weeks' time. We have to then confer with the different members to look for availability, and of course we'll advertise on our website when that date will be. We've had many meetings in the past, since your last meeting, 7 municipal outreach meetings, 2 county outreach meetings, one with the planners and one with Somerset, which was actually their presentation, which was attended by staff here. We've had 4 state and federal agency coordination meetings, actually that should be 5, and various stakeholder coordination meetings. So staff have been extremely busy in keeping that openness and transparency. The other matter I did want to touch on with you today was the public comments. The public comment period closes, as you know, tomorrow. And to date, as of writing my report, which was as of yesterday, we had received comments from 880 different sources. So some of those are groups and some of those would be individuals. Many of those 880 commentors would have had many more comments. So someone might maybe have one comment, many would have 15, 20 comments. So you can imagine the extent of the comments we have received. It's been a focus in the office then to figure out a approach the these comments in a way that will benefit us in tracking them and in coming up with a consolidated report to give to the council members. So initially we started with tracking them. They've been put into a system so that we have all of them tracked and scanned, with the exception, of course, of large files such as maps that couldn't be scanned, and they are filed but referenced in the scanning. We then went through a process of reviewing them and reviewing each comment and putting it into a corresponding category. At this point, we're fairly close to completing the tracking process. But as the period closes tomorrow, we're getting an influx of comments. In fact, we got them today from the Farm Bureau. So we'll continue to get some, but we're pretty close to completing that portion of it. Then the second portion, the second step, which was reviewing each of the comments and then putting them into categories, has been another time-consuming project. We took a team approach at that, I believe it was the week before last, and pretty much handled all that we had in-house at that time. So again, we're close on that portion of it. It does take, you have to have a staff that is able to make, you know, to focus on reading it, understanding where the comments are, and understanding the category into which they belong. After that, we're going to be doing some more consolidation, so the comments that have been brought to our attention by many entities would then be consolidated further, so that we'll be able to serve all of this up to you. But at any point in time, you will be able to see who the comments came from and track them right back to the original document. And this is being done through a database that was designed in-house, and I would like to say to let you know that Carl Figueredo was the staff member who did that work for us. He did a tremendous job. I think that when you see this database, you're going to be very pleased at how easy it is to use and to do queries and figure out who the comments came from, track right back to the specific ID for that particular comment. We've started to populate that database, and we'll be taking a further team-based approach to it. Because we realize the time sensitivity of this, to have a couple of people working on it would not get us to the end game quick enough. Our goal is to try by your next meeting to have all of these in a form where we can actually start looking from the staff perspective of giving you some initial ideas on responses, but then serving it up to you so that you can read them in a form that will be more manageable, so that you can then dictate to us how you want us to respond and how you think that should lead then to changes for a final plan. But we're well on the way to that, and we'll share more with you as we go on. We do have, we have made available on your site those comments for you to be reviewing in the meantime. The other benefit of this team-based approach is that when the various staff members have been reviewing these comments, they're already beginning to see the wide range of comments, understand the categories, and it means that we have a lot of staff members who are becoming very well aware of the nature of these comments. Just trying to see now if I've covered everything. Well, that about covers it for today, and I thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Carolyn? Okay, we move to our two resolutions. The first is a planning assistance grant, which is to Byron Township. You want to present this?
Yes, this is a grant such as you've done for many others. It's in the amount of $7,500 for the Township of Byron, and it is for a COA grant.
Is there more to this?
I'll move the resolution.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Comments, questions? Questions, correctly.
The council want to participate in this vote? Or?
You can participate in this vote, yes.
I have to ask a staff member to comment, though, on the budgetary issues related to this grant. I certainly support doing it. It's only in the amount of $7,500, but the Budget and Finance Subcommittee has not reviewed this and not certified that the funds are available, so I think somebody needs to make a statement on that before the council votes on it.
Yes, I think you're correct. We did not send this to Budget and Finance. It was within the range of the budgeted amounts for all the co-grants we set up an amount for, so I can provide you with a basis for that.
Other comments or questions? Anyone from the public have any comments on this? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes. The second resolution refers back to the Natural Resource Committee discussion we had. Maybe Tim or Eileen, who wants to present this?
Mr. Chair, in this case, I would like to ask Tom Gordon to present this, and cognizant as well of the fact that he'd been asked prior by the Vice Chair.
This resolution deals with amendments to water quality management plans.
a subset of which is wastewater management plans. They can be in the form of a project-specific amendment, or they can also be in the form of a municipal wastewater management plan. The DEP, in their regulations, which were adopted in December of this last year, reiterated the process which was pre-existing in the Highlands rules, in which for the entire Highlands region, both the preservation and the planning area, DEP seeks the recommendation of this council. The most recent rules in December created a bifurcated process by which, until the master plan is adopted, they'll continue to seek our recommendations. When the master plan is adopted, they will begin a different process which requires a consistency determination from this council. The issue that we've been discussing at the Natural Resource Committee meetings is, while we continue to process these recommendations, we anticipate a considerable number of these and would like to create an efficient process for their review. When the master plan is adopted, the nature of the review will become a consistency analysis, which will in theory become a much more detailed review. Right now we're working on recommendations for the draft plan, which we recognize are undergoing changes. So the recommendation of the committee was to delegate authority to them to continue to make recommendations on behalf of the council and also develop thresholds and guidelines so that projects that were more intensive in nature, either due to resource issues, flow issues, expansion issues, would be brought to the full council for review. The way the resolution is crafted is we're still continuing to develop those thresholds, and so the charge is this resolution is interim in nature. It will be an interim resolution until the plan is adopted, that the Natural Resource Committee will develop thresholds to ensure that appropriate projects are brought before the full council. But in the interim, they can provide recommendations on behalf of the council so that these projects are not stalled, especially some of the smaller projects, as Tim alluded to. There are even exempt projects which will still require a recommendation from this council.
But just to be clear, if the resolution passes, it would mean that any wastewater quality plan amendment of any size would be handled. The recommendation would go directly from the committee until the thresholds came back from the committee that the council might approve. Right.
Yes, and or if the thresholds weren't quite completed, if the committee determined it was a large project, the bridge should go to the council. The resolution allows them to send it to the council directly.
Right. And just as a point, we do have some draft thresholds that we were working on, so it's not a blank slate at this point. We made our way through that and through a lot of conversation before.
Tom, in your comments, once the RMP is adopted, a consistency determination should be made so that these applications can be consistent or not consistent with the Highlands Regional Master Plan as adopted. Would that then mean that the DEP would be deferring to those determinations made by the council, or would they still have the authority to overrule them or override them or disregard them?
In their water quality planning rules, which actually there's a new proposal on the street from DEP on water quality planning rules,
constantly changing.
They do have the authority there is a process by which there are statements of consent from governmental entities on a wide range of topics. So, during an amendment process, various forms of governmental entities, the advice and the recommendations are sought. What DEP has said in the regulations, they're going to give great weight to the regional master plan. They do, however, have the authority to examine our consistency analysis and still take action, notwithstanding that consistency determination.
Thank you. And up until that point, where we are now, for example, any recommendations that the committee might make on its own, without coming to the full council, will serve the same purpose, but the DEP ultimately will make the determination as to whether or not that plan should go forward. So, is the same weight given to the interim recommendation at this stage of the RMP's life as it might be subsequently?
I think it's fair to say that because the recommendation is based upon a draft plan that is subject to change, I don't want to speak for DEP, but they did create differential standards. One is a recommendation, and one is a consistency determination, knowing that when the plan is adopted, that the target that's moving will stop moving.
So I guess my question comes down to the resolution. Is it necessary for us at this point to even have this resolution, since the decision will be made by the DEP?
Well, apparently DEP will not make the decision until they hear from us.
That's correct.
We need a recommendation in order to move these projects forward. Absent that recommendation,
they may not follow our recommendation, but they won't act until they have it.
That's correct.
I mean, I think yes. It obviously serves a process issue that there are regulations in existence at DEP which require a recommendation from us in order for them to further those. So I would not want to see us stand in that way. Those jammed up. But I think, secondly, and perhaps more importantly, the department very clearly is seeking our input into this. And we can, we'll see how it works out in terms of the weight to which they give that, but they at least have made the offer formally through the regulatory process. And I think we should absolutely step up to that line and offer that input.
So I'd like to move the motion.
I'd like to
move that. Okay. Second.
Okay, and just the number one in the resolution, there's the word is should be are, because the Natural Resource Committee and the Executive Director are hereby
authorized. One more comment. Sure. I just want to clarify and be absolutely clear that this resolution and its recommendations are not binding on the DEP.
But this resolution means that the Natural Resources Committee will send recommendations on behalf of the Council. The reality, independent of this resolution, DEP is not bound to accept the Council's recommendations until we adopt a master plan. So we would certainly have a different, you're different or the same, but we have a spelled out, an articulated position in the final, or processing the final management plan of how we would do this.
I just wanted to ask, does the DEP understand what we're going to do, and do they object to it in any way?
No.
Without having a subcommittee?
We've been working with the DEP, and I've been conferring with Larry Byers from the DEP on this process, and they're happy to see us take action. And I received an email from DEP this morning applauding us for moving things forward, if that is the case.
Anyone from the public have comments on this resolution?
Sure. Just basically a question as to form. Do these various subcommittees that this council had
could we have Mr. Shook move to the recording device
sure.
So we can record the comments? Thank you very much.
The question was, do these various subcommittees that this council have, do they have quorum requirements? I wasn't at the last resource committee requirement, but I heard by hearsay that the meeting was rather thinly attended. Two of the members who were there were what I call as certified enviro pros, those people who sit here and get paid by their environmental organizations to do so.
Well, your question's an interesting question. Was there an answer? What's the answer?
There are four members of that committee.
No,
three were in attendance.
Presence. But do we, I'm not aware that we do have quorum requirements.
We do not have quorum requirements.
So the committees are varying numbers of people on each day anyway, but members of the committee who are present at a meeting take action on behalf of the committee or make recommendations on it.
No matter who they may be.
Correct.
That's not a good way to do business. Thank you.
Other comments?
Yes.
Hi, Susan Buck Oxford. I was at the Natural Resources Committee meeting, and even though my comments are not part of the minutes, as usual. However, I find that it's inappropriate for the council to delegate that level of authority without understanding exactly what it is the Natural Resources Committee is doing. I mean, I as a member of the public find it to be an amazing mental leap to see that the council even has the ability to get involved with this sort of thing at this stage of the game without having a master plan out there. Providing comments to the DEP on individual projects is going to set a precedent. I think it's a dangerous one without the council understanding what is going on. The legislative intent, from the way I understand it, was to review things like wastewater management plan changes with a view towards we're not dumping something in a stream and impairing it. We're not doing something that's going to impair the water quality. That is not what the Natural Resources Committee is doing. They are recommending things like deed restrictions. They are looking at the project in its entirety, and if there's an endangered species from landscape data level 3 that doesn't even exist in the public domain, they're going to recommend that it be rejected. It has very little to do with the actual hookup of the facility. And if that's okay with you folks, fine, and then go ahead and delegate the authority. But if it's not okay, and we are going to be setting a precedent, and these are going to be recommendations, and if they're taken by the DEP, there's going to be big problems, because every single person that needs to have a hookup done, I don't think it was the legislature's intent to stop everything. Like Mr. Dillingham talks about, once you have the, you know, the hookup, that it encourages development. No, it doesn't. That's just not how it works in my town or anywhere else. It's, it, you know, we always built capacity to have it available just because you hook into it. That's what it was built for. We're supposed to put the development where we have the capacity to do it. And that is just not what the Natural Resources Committee is doing.
Other comments?
Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. I was prepared to ask you all to table this motion. I have some of the same questions about the process that's going on here with the committee review, any committee for that matter, but especially one that has such an effect on whether or not there's a balance in this plan. But it seems to me this resolution has to pass before you can deal with a couple of projects that have been hanging. And I think if I were a council member, I would feel really pushed into a situation that, you know, you have to go along with this before you can do something that is obviously very timely and necessary. I attended the Natural Resource Committee, not the one this week. There's really nobody on the Natural Resource Committee, excuse me, not just nobody, but there's not enough of you council members that ought to be concerned about the economic development and the smart growth aspects. And the meetings have been scheduled very last minute. It may be hard for some of those four people to make the meeting. And I really think that as council members, you shouldn't approve right off on a process to give this much power to this committee without also having a smart growth committee that could also look at the situation and add to the discussion. And then if there are differences between the Natural Resource Committee's position on this and the Smart Growth Economic Development Committee's position, they can work it out between the two committees. And this has been very successful with the state plan, and I think this is really necessary here from a legal point of view. The decisions of the Natural Resource Committee could, despite the efforts of the people on it, be construed as not a very balanced review. So I don't know what to suggest at this point, but because I don't want to delay those projects either, but I really think that the committee process needs some examination, and if you are at all interested in balance on this plan, this is not the way to handle wastewater and the decision on redevelopment areas, which are, as you know, the two things that are going to determine where growth goes. Thank you.
Another comment? I think there is an interesting point here that we don't have a quorum requirement for committees, but on almost everything else, a committee is making recommendations to the full council. They're not taking full action. And I wonder if in this case where the committee is taking full action, where we ought to have a requirement that the recommendation be approved by at least three members of the committee, which was the case in this case, I think. The idea behind this, one of the ideas behind this, I don't think it's been mentioned yet, is to try to make this simple, to not have the full council bogged down in spending a lot of time discussing individual projects before we have, while we have to concentrate on getting the regional master plan.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just intrude a question here. It was suggested that we cannot adopt the two resolutions before us for the comments on the two applications, Somerset and
Bellevue Church.
Without adopting this process resolution. Is that correct?
Yes, we can't move those two recommendations forward without absent this resolution.
Well, we could recommend these two. The full council could today take action on these two.
Right, and I think
that's my question.
Okay, and I think it is important to note in response to Mr. Shope's comments that the full council was made aware of the reports on both of these projects by staff. Steve Bolzano, Jim Hutzelman, and Chris Ross did due diligence on all of this and did present a report to all members of the council.
And all members of the council have read those reports?
I can assess that every single one of us have.
Unless the reality is we get these things sometimes less than 12 hours in advance of meeting or email. So.
Well, an alternative approach, which I'm a idea, could be that we could approve, we could approve these two recommendations. The council could endorse these two recommendations today and take no further action until the next meeting by which the committee might have a recommendation in terms of thresholds.
John, I have some comments which I think will follow up to your point. Okay. If now's a good time to... I'm actually going to speak out against the resolution, and it's on general principles. It's in no way cast aspersions on the Natural Resources Subcommittee, which is probably the hardest working subcommittee we have on the council here. You know, meeting three times in the last month is a testament to that. But as a general rule, I don't favor the council delegating any decisions to subcommittees. Some for the reasons that were brought up today, but as a general principle, that in its infinite wisdom, the legislature created a 15-member council, and that's because they don't want two or three members making decisions. I think if that were the case, we'd have a five-person council closer to a governing body. So I actually agree with the legislature on that point. But I think it is, and I appreciate also the desire for an efficient process. That's certainly a consideration, but I don't think efficiency outweighs that factor in all these cases. I also think that it's important that the council do weigh in on these applications. It's our responsibility, as I understand it, under the law. And while we don't have a finally adopted regional master plan, we do have a wealth of information available to provide some guidance, which I think serves as a sound basis for a recommendation. Specifically on the on this resolution, and again, beyond my general concerns, is I think there's three points. There's two other points. We don't have the thresholds established. Maybe I'd feel more comfortable if I knew what those thresholds were. But to be honest with you, I don't think I could support this because of my general concern about delegating to subcommittees. But also, we describe it as an interim measure, but we have no idea how long it's going to be till final adoption at this point in time. And that gives me some concern for how ongoing this could end up being that we delegate to that subcommittee. So what I think following off of your comments there, John, what I would propose we do today and ask the council to consider is to table the resolution, but if the council members feel comfortable, approve these recommendations that are made by the subcommittee. If there's willingness to consider a resolution like this in the future to flesh out those thresholds and for us to ponder this issue about that are raised about quorums of subcommittees and you know, maybe we want to just think through this further. And is there anything pending in the next month that we couldn't wait a month to do this? Are there any applications out there that this subcommittee needed to work on in the last month for which there are timing issues?
There are several other ones coming up.
Then I would suggest they do it. They did before and come to us, you know, and maybe at the end of the day, it's going to end up being perfunctory, rubber stamping what the subcommittee does, but at least it allows a level of oversight, and if the council members want to weigh in and get more involved, then it gives us an opportunity to do so.
I see no value in tabling the whole resolution. I think it needs to be defeated. I think that I'm in favor of also full council review, and there's no sense in tabling this resolution if we're in favor of full council review. We need a new resolution, or maybe we don't need a resolution at all.
Exactly.
Just affirming that this is our authority and that it rises to the level that we should all be taking action on it together.
Well, a motion has been made and seconded, so we have to do something.
Well, I think the estimate was, what you say, about a dozen of these might be expected before the end of the calendar year, and I think if If you, I think you forget what it's like to deal with 12 individual projects. I mean, it will be, I mean, maybe we should, but it will be a major amount of time for the council meetings.
I guess a couple things. One on the principle that Debbie raises. I think we have indeed delegated some decisions to the committees. It's a break point of where we draw that line. I think the resolution suggested, and I hope that the discussion about the conversations we had within the committee, we're trying to identify where the decisions would be significant enough and pose conflicts would be controversial enough that they should be considered by the full council. We did spend about probably 4 hours in total talking about these projects, and they are complex, and the balancing of the equities was fairly rigorous. So, and it was, heed paid to the public comments that were given to us, and different viewpoints offered. So, I think we are trying to balance the pragmatics there, but we could structure this, I think, in the way you suggested, that recommendations could come up from subcommittee to be acted on, but I think realistically, we're going to reopen the debate about each and every one of these projects, and if that's indeed the way the council wants to spend its time, I don't know that that is necessarily in our best interest. Those are just thoughts and responses to the comments.
John?
I was just going to say, I think we spent at least 4 hours, because we were actually two meetings on these two, so it was probably closer to 5 hours on these. Now, they were the first ones, so we're trying to streamline the process by, putting together a method that makes, moves us along in the review of these. But I would just suggest that we should consider going back to two meetings a month then, if we're going to be doing this, because what has happened is these have built up and there's a backlog. And in the case of Somerset County, for instance, I think it's several years in the making, and this is their final approval that they need. These projects are very well developed. Unfortunately, we're coming in at the end. It shouldn't be that way. Once we get our plan adopted and our review and approval is required, then things will change. But I think now in this interim period, it's awkward. And what it means is that we're looking at projects that have been in the works a long time. It's difficult for them to make changes, although in the case of Somerset County, for instance, which attended our meeting, as well as members of the public, they said, oh, yeah, we can do that, and we would like to put a deed restriction. This is what we're working for. And you see all of that input reflected in this report here, which then would be turned into a letter that would be sent to DEP. So I think, as far as the subcommittee or our committee acting on behalf of the council, I would just suggest that we are not making new policies up. What we're really doing is having the staff spend their time going over very carefully these applications and saying how the application does or does not jive with the principles in our plan. In the case of exempt projects, it's even less of a review because we are only allowed to look at what the Executive Order 109 and the existing Water Quality Management Plan rules require DEP to do. So it's very limited what we're allowed to do. It's a draft plan, and we're following the policies that the council has set up. So I don't think we're breaking new ground here. Or if you took the time to look at the two that are in here, they're only a couple pages each. They're very summarized, and I think that the council is going to find that this is not going. That we're not stepping out and making some big new policy decisions on the part of the council. As a matter of fact, what we're doing is kind of setting up a process to move a backlog along. But what we're doing is we're getting our chops in terms of how we're going to deal with these down the road. This is an interim measure. It will expire when the plan is made final. I know we don't know exactly when that is, but we all know we're moving towards that, hopefully, this calendar year. So I would just speak for, in the interest of us focusing on getting the plan done, and this as sort of a you know, a sub-issue, not a major focus of what we're doing right now, that we allow the committee to work on this. We pledge and very much discussed our thresholds that we would send on anything that seems like a very big issue or something that would require a policy discussion. So I just don't see how the council is going to be able to handle this. I think it's going to end up being a distraction, and we would require an extra meeting each month in order to give it the credit due. And one last thing, I don't see the point of having the council do it if it's just going to be a rubber stamp.
I would like us to consider passing this resolution because knowing how much work is in front of us in the council right now, I think that this can be delegated to the committee. What I think we may be able to consider doing is increasing the membership of that of the resource committee to reflect the entire membership of the board. It's kind of being a committee of the whole. Maybe we can, I can tell you from my personal standpoint, one of the reasons I accepted this position on the board was to be involved to this level. I mean, maybe it's the control part of my personality, but I do find this the most interesting, to be honest with you, the actual projects and how they tie into what we're trying to do. Maybe we can gather them a little bit more so that we send out a notice and we all come out knowing what our efforts going to be in that particular meeting, maybe try to do three of them at a time, and we don't want to let a backlog go on. I think that's very important to the economic viability of the area, that we do find a quick way to turn it around. But at least then it leaves it up to each member whether they decide to come to that extra meeting a month. But I personally can see it staying with that committee and allowing the full board, as we call ourselves, you know, the council here, just to take care of what we have on our agenda right now. So as it is right now, I am in favor of keeping it there, but I would like the opportunity to participate. And I think that is the case already. I mean, any member can show up at any committee meeting and participate, but I think if you make a little bit more of a formal, you know, committee of the whole type of an arrangement, then people will know, you know, the burden is on them to get there and to be active and participate.
Okay. I'd like to call for a vote on this resolution.
I just want to make one comment.
Yeah.
Has anybody on the council ever been to the Valley View Chapel? Anybody know where it is? I do. Been there. Know all the details. Has anybody ever been to the Nathurbar Estate?
Yes.
Okay, we've got a couple. Anybody ever farmed that land? I have. Been there. This is why we exist on the council, so that all of us bring diverse experiences together to make good logical decisions. For the life of me, when I look at the Valley View Chapel application, brand new sewer main out front, why in the world are they putting in another septic system when they can connect into the sewer main? How does that make sense? These things deserve full council attention. And I'm fully in. We're here to act on these things, that's what you said, and I think we're here to act on them as a group, not a committee. And to get the committee big enough, we're going to need everybody from the council on the committee, so we might as well act on them here. I'm against the resolution.
Well, I think the resolution's not going to pass, so let's figure out where we go from here. That's why I was going to call. So I think I guess we need to vote it down or replace it. But the alternative seems to be to vote on these two projects, to approve the committee's recommendation on these two projects today, and then look at the recommendations of the committee regarding thresholds.
That's my understanding. I would support this.
So I would also.
So you want to make that as to amend the motion to say that?
I think we should vote on that.
Okay, well, let's vote on the resolution's on the table to as written. All those in favor?
Aye.
Let's raise your hands. Just so we have okay. All those opposed? Okay. Your motion.
I'd like to move the next resolution. We have two resolutions here.
We have one resolution which we just defeated.
We have two applications.
Yeah, two applications.
You need to make the resolution.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
My suggestion is that we ask Tim to, in 1 minute, and that's all I think the council needs to hear, explain what it is the council, the subcommittee is recommending and why, and I mean seriously 1 minute. We don't want to spend 4 hours on this.
and basically what the issue is, what the decision was, and why, and if we're comfortable with that, we approve these.
Well, let me
this is immediate.
Let me ask for a motion that would instruct the executive director to send to DEP the recommendation of the committee. And that's basically what we're asking.
Yes.
I'll make that.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Would you like to summarize the project, or would somebody like to hear?
So I blew it out 5 hours, I guess.
Yeah.
You can distill it to 1 minute.
Yeah. I know. Distill it. They are. One is a expansion of Valley View Chapel to include ball fields, expanded parking lots. The review consisted on our part of looking where those uses in the site design might impact upon endangered species habitat, upon water quality issues. So the recommendations were that the DEP review the amendment looking at the most current version of landscape data, which identified that there was indeed endangered species habitat that would be impacted by this proposal, as well as forest resources. The recommendation is that the applicant explore avenues for avoiding the impacts, and that if they can avoid them, then they should consider, in consultation with our staff, a mitigating conservation plan to mitigate the impacts. That's the recommendation there. Question about whether or not why the proposal came to us as a septic system occurred. So that's apparently in the applicant's decision as to why they did that as opposed to seeking the tie-in. I just don't want the impression that we drove that aspect of it.
And I understand, but I think the process began before the sewer main even existed. You know, there's all sorts of issues out there, and this is where if we're supposed to be a regional planning body, we need to know the whole picture. And the whole picture is there's a sewer main out there. Now, that 3 miles down Bartley Road to West Morris Central Regional High School. Is the critical habitat so important that we should suggest that the church should connect into the sewer main instead of destroying habitat? And that's my point. You need to know these facts in order to act on the problem.
Can I make a point there? The applicant wasn't at that meeting. I would feel much better if we had the applicant at that meeting, so if those kind of issues came up, because there may be opportunities, there may be times when none of us know that particular information. And the applicant may, and when these situations come up, we might hear some alternative that we could put in to a recommendation. And I also have another concern on this particular application, was that we're using landscape version number 3, which hasn't been made public. Nobody knows about it. And it hasn't been vetted, hasn't gone through public comment, hasn't done any of that. And I didn't find that as being an equitable situation to ask somebody to comply with something that they have no way to know about it to comply with it. And so this habitat wasn't in Landscape 2, which is available to the public. It was available at the time that they made the plans, got their approvals from the township, and got to this point. And at the very end, something that hasn't even passed public scrutiny is going to be applied to this project, which is the Savannah Sparrows habitat that may or may not be there because it hasn't gone through a final process to vet it out. I had a problem with that, and that's why I was opposed to some of the recommendations made in the final recommendations to this project. And I thought that if we should just let them go forward with putting the septic field in. If there is this habitat and there's a sewer line, I think we should be an alternative that we recommend that they go into the sewer system instead of if this habitat is there and it's so important. I think that should be a recommendation. But I don't know whether we notify the applicants that we're going to be discussing their applications. At least they could have the opportunity, like Somerset County did, to come, which was very helpful because I had concerns about their application, the recommendations that were going to be there, and I was able to ask their representative if Somerset County had an issue with those recommendations, or in that case, they were actually agreeable before the application came to us with those, in particular deed restriction. They had already decided they were going to do that. That helps us when we make the decision. It helps us when we come before you. We can tell you the applicant said they didn't have a problem with deed restriction. And that's why it's part of the recommendation, which would give everybody more information to make the decision on it, which made the decision for, helped me make my decision on the way that I voted. And I just want to add something because I didn't get an opportunity to. I would like to see that committee expanded a little bit. Four is very difficult, especially with Kurt and I's diverse schedules. He's farming in the during the day, and I'm working during the day, and it makes it hard for us to get a schedule where both of us can attend at the same time. And so I think if we had more people on there, it would be easier for us to adjust our schedule so that there was, that there would be a quorum. I had to pick a day for us to meet was very difficult because there's four of us, and we kept on coming up with where two people could meet and not, we couldn't get to a third. So I would, that was my reason for voting against the resolution, because I think there were good points that I hadn't considered before, and I think we should have considered those and made them part of a resolution before we voted on it, to alleviate some of those concerns that I hadn't considered at, up to that point in time.
So are you supporting the resolution on the floor now, just to recommend these two projects to have the executive director?
Well, for what Kurt said, I'd like to amend the recommendation to add that if that's a problem with where their septic field would go, that they have the opportunity to hook into the sewer system, that's a possibility.
I was going to say, I think we're talking now in the dark because we don't know anything about that. We don't have information about the wastewater service area, the capacity. To make a recommendation at, like that at this point would, I think, be irresponsible on the part of the council because we would need to look into that. This is an exempt project. Remember, our review on this is very limited. We can't even apply the draft regional master plan provisions or the Highland, the Highlands Act. It doesn't apply. It's exempt. So what we are doing is reflecting to the DEP what we have learned through the RMP to enhance their review based on Executive Order 109 and the rules, the watershed, the water quality management planning rules. So it's a narrow review, and one of those requirements is to look at threatened and endangered species habitat. The applicant was supposed to look at that. They're supposed to go out and take a look at what's on the ground. And they don't have their work done by just looking at what's on landscape on the internet.
But we're relying on that, and it hasn't been vetted yet.
No, but what I'm saying is that if they had gone out, and we could argue the other side.
If they had
gone out and saw the same,
part of the problem,
let me just finish my thought. If they had gone out and seen the grassland, then they may have had that knowledge. And I think your comments were, Eric, reflected in the language that's in this recommendation, which is that it is recommended that the applicant explore avenues for avoiding impacts to the critical habitat area if the habitat is found to be suitable for the species of concern. So that was added, that reflects what the concern that you had said, which was, what if it's not there or the habitat is not really suitable after all? Well, if it is, the habitat is there and it does support the species of concern, then it is an issue. If it's not, then it's not an issue. So I think that we really should consider moving ahead with the recommendation as presented.
Right. Accepted.
Well, Kurt. Well, I was just going to say, I think we need to evaluate how much we're going to comment on exempt activities. I want to ask Tom. The legislation has a whole list of exemptions. Are we saying today that we're going to put this much time and effort into making recommendations on every exempt activity that occurs in the Highlands region? Because there was a reason why the legislature
elected to make these exempt.
Well, that was one of the reasons for the original resolution, was that exempt activities, we have to do some review, but it shouldn't rise to the full council.
Well, the DEP will not act on the project, on the application, until they get some comments from the Highlands Council. So if the council were to adopt the position, we're not going to comment on exempt projects, the projects will be held up. So that's not what doesn't make sense. I mean, that outcome doesn't make sense.
Well, it just seems to me it's almost like a back door to implement our will, whether you like it or not, on projects that were never intended to have our will implemented on them in the first place. I mean, the legislature makes the laws, and they decided that churches were exempt from the Highlands provisions. So we may want to protect that sparrow, but we don't have the legislative authority to protect that sparrow. I just question.
That's what Tracy was alluding to before. The review the committee did was only based upon DEP's jurisdiction, not the regional master plan.
Right. Mr. Chairman, and I also just point out, because I think in Chris' comments seem to imply that we're doing something that's not authorized by the law. There is a legal briefing memo that Tom prepared for the council that explains the basis of the jurisdiction. So we did very much go through a conversation about what is the standard review, what is the scope and extent of legal authority, how involved should we be in this, and we should very much focus our comments on those issues which we have clear authority to do and an obligation to do, with an eye towards the fact that we want to keep the process moving in the other agencies. So, you know, you need to have the background to understand the conversation. Again, that goes back to the idea that we spent hours and hours on this. Now, the suggestions are that we're going to reopen these on each and every one and go through that process. You know, I think the members have an obligation, one, to come to the meetings, and two, to be prepared to talk about them in the context in which they need to be talked about.
I'd like to just reiterate that the decision will be made by the DEP on this application. The decision will not be made by the Highlands Council or the subcommittee. So
but
what we are sending down
by our recommendation.
What we are sending down to the DEP is our comments based on the committee's work to the DEP. The DEP is free to accept or reject those. But I do think that Eric's point about not having the applicant present is something to be considered as we go back to the process issue. I think that would be very critical. And I'd like to see the application language amended to include Kurt's comment about the adjacency of a sewer main and the possibility that that might be a tie-in. So, I mean, I would have no problem with the application language and the recommendation of the committee with those two comments just noted.
I'm not opposed, Jack, to the idea of having the applicants there, and I think that is probably a good suggestion that we should notice those as we're reviewing them. But I would support Tracy's comments on the idea of, you know, alternatives to meeting this. The way the recommendation is framed, we said explore avenues. The applicant is free to, you know, depending on what the DEP decides to do with our recommendations, to look at the alternative of looking up to the sewer line versus putting the septic system. And we're, in essence, opening that door, which apparently, based on the information we've received from the DEP, was not an alternative that was evaluated. But we're saying our responsibility is to comment on and protect the natural resource. That opens that door. And then lastly, just wanted to comment on the landscape tree. We did, you'll see in the reports on the committee discussions, we did recommend that council take affirmative steps on our own to let the public know that we are using Landscape 3 and that is the standard by which some of these applications are going to be reviewed. So we recognize that there was a lack of a public.
But the question is, Tim, how did they get it?
How did who get it?
How did they get access to it? My understanding from our meeting is that the public doesn't have access to Landscape 3 yet.
Well, I don't think it alleviates the burden that Tracy described, which is that Landscape 3 is a way of them being informed about what might be on the site, what might be suitable habitat. It's different than their obligation to make sure that they don't impair the endangered species. And in many ways, I think as it came out at the committee meeting, that's a safeguard, because if they go forward with this and some professional environmental group decides to sue them over their impact, and the incidental take, as they call it, of endangered species, they might be happy to know that we informed them that there was something there that they should be concerned to. But I don't know the detail specifically in response to your question, Eric, but we should obviously answer that.
Great, go ahead. Mr. Chairman, and first, with all respect to the the resources committee and the hard work they put in. I find ourselves here, and to Kurt's point, you know, there's either an exemption process or there's not an exemption, an exemption process. The project received final approval from the Washington Township Planning Board on March 26th of 03. I find this, we're going to get involved with all of these applications prior to coming up with a regional master plan. We're never going to get this process done. I mean, if there's other agencies out there that can allow this process to go through on the merits that is here within this application, is there a real reason for us to get involved in the details of this? You know, that would be my concern. I mean, if we're truly going to get this RMP done, we need to put some of this stuff on the side and let the other agencies that have the ability to either have this approved on its merits or not approved prior to the signing of the act in August of 04.
But again, if we take no action, DEP will not approve this project.
Could we not say that we have no input into this and make that our comment?
Mr. Chairman, why would we say we have no input? We have information, which is germane. We have the Landscape 3 information. It's important information. It's our responsibility to do what we can to protect the resources under
DEP
our
has the ability to get that information as well.
We're charged with it because DEP asked us for that information. They put into the regulations that they're supposed to consult with us during this interim period. We may not have as much weight as we will after the plan is adopted, but we have information that we have a responsibility to share with DEP. I think we're shirking our responsibility as a council if we ignore that we know their Savannah sparrow habitat is there, just because it's not convenient.
I think we're overstepping our responsibility. What requires the DEP right now to come to us? A rule?
Yes, DEP's rule.
Well, maybe we need to go to DEP and say, look, you're wasting our time bringing exempt activities to us. You've got the authority, do it.
Their rules have enforced law, so they could change their rules if they wanted over a six-month period. So
let's recommend to them they change the rule and don't waste our time bringing exempt activities to us because we don't have...
In the interim, we have to take action on these projects. If we don't take action on these projects, these don't get built. So I would recommend that we approve this motion. We've already given the committee some thoughts to think about before of how to handle future ones, and we then consider that. But if we have to take action on these projects, or they're not going to get built, and they're not going to get approved. And I think from the comments everybody's made here, everybody here wants them to go forward, or nobody has an objection to them going forward. I guess.
I think that we need to make some kind of an amendment to reflect the fact that what Kurt has told us, that they have the option of tying into a sewer line.
I don't know if they have the option. I don't know if they're passing. The whole thing is there's a new main that exists now that didn't exist when they initiated all these applications back in 02.
It's actually an important thing to know.
But I think Tracy's point is that the motion, as the recommendation as written, provides that opportunity.
John, I just want to comment to Kurt's point. Sometimes Kurt, you know, glaringly with common sense points out the problems of bureaucracy. But those of us who've done local wastewater management planning, they're aware there's a sewer line going in front of this property. And there's a reason why the application doesn't reflect that, and we don't know why.
The application came in before the sewer line was installed.
They could have amended it.
Go ahead.
They could have amended it. The applicant, if the applicant wanted to go down that path, there's nothing. For whatever reason, they've chosen to do this. And to make the point, and, you know, this is taking so long today, not because we're going to reopen every recommendation from the natural, but it's our growing pains. We're trying to figure out what our role is here. And that's really what we're talking about. What do we do? Not specifically this application, though some of it. I want to point that out. But the exemptions, well, that's my opinion, Jeff. And the exemptions, the fact that it's an exemption, that means there's a specific legal definition of that. It means we don't have authority over something. But it doesn't mean it's inappropriate for us to comment. And I think it is appropriate for us to comment. We have information. We have expertise. This is what this is a regional planning entity. We're supposed to comment on these things. So I support the resolution approve these based on the recommendations. I don't know if we did one or two, but the resolution covers just this one.
No,
I think we should go ahead and again continue to ponder the right role of what
I would agree with Debbie with the other language that we had discussed in the survey.
Well, it's your motion.
What language you discussed, you were suggesting be inserted?
That we've called to the attention of the DEP that there is a sewer line that has been recently installed, and they should consider that as they go forward. It was something else. What about the other language?
Applicant being present?
Yes.
But that's not part of this
approval. I would support that.
Okay. So that's the motion on the floor since you guys made it seconded.
Debbie and I agree.
One other point, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Who is our forestry expert on staff right now?
Well, we have Ron Farrell, a little from North Jersey.
Is he state forester or state licensed forester? Or
I don't know.
My point is, we have in the NAP TRR application, number 3, that we're asking them to consider preparing and implementing a forest restoration plan as part of an amendment to their master plan for the entire site in consultation with the Highlands Council. And we've been down this road a couple times before. When did we become the forestry experts? And who do we have that's going to be available to do all this forestry consulting? We should be directing them to a licensed state forester.
I don't
think we should be referring them to us.
I'd like to hold those comments from the second application.
Well,
no, the motion on the floor is for both applications.
But I think the experts are out there. We need to be directing them to the experts, unless we're going to recreate a whole forestry department here.
Any comments from anyone on the committee or the staff?
In terms of Kurt's specific point?
Yeah, in terms of specific comment about that.
I mean, again, I think the recommendation was framed to ensure that there were going to be impacts and there were parts of this design that were contrary to the policies about protecting forest resources that are in the RFP. I mean, I guess you could read into this, but the way it might play out is the council could require them or work with them to go out to a private forester as opposed to somebody on staff. I mean, there's a couple different ways to skin that cat, I guess, but it's really establishing a requirement that we have some oversight to ensure that the plan is designed to mitigate against the impacts that we evaluated in the review and that, in essence, are being allowed weighed against the greater good that's being achieved by this application. So it's a compliance issue in a sense, as opposed to necessarily, I think, putting ourselves forward as the technical experts on how that design might happen.
But that's what we're saying here, that in consultation with us, I think that if we want them to prepare and implement a forestry restoration plan, then we should be directing them to go to a state licensed forester and develop the plan like every other landowner does. I don't think we want to become the repository for forestry management plans. Years ago, 20 years ago, it used to be that everybody used a state forester, and then the state couldn't afford the foresters anymore, and they changed the rules, and we all went to licensed private foresters for our forestry management plans that are approved by the state forester. You know, so there is an oversight still, and I think that we should be focusing much the same. I mean, I don't want to increase the bureaucracy here, and I'm not convinced that we have a qualified person on staff right now who can do this work.
Well, the resolution is as it is at the moment, unless anyone changes.
Well, I'll make a motion that we strike in consultation with the Highlands Council for number 3. On page 5.
Mr. Chairman? Is there a second to Kurt's amendment?
I think you don't take action on the first motion.
Oh, I think Kurt's amendment is an amendment to the motion. And somebody did second. Tracy, what were you going to say?
I'd like to speak against that recommendation. It simply says in consultation with the Highlands Council, and as Tim just said, there's different ways to get to that goal. But in the RMP, in the draft RMP, part of our charge is to work with municipalities in order to prepare these types of plans, and that's going to be part of the work that we're doing. As applications come along, once we adopt the plan, we will be taking very seriously our role of reviewing applications to see how they impact the resources of the Highlands and if there is an impact that can't be avoided, how to mitigate that. Forestry management plans, mitigation plans that deal with habitat are all a real important part of what we're going to be doing. And we're not going to be sloughing that off to some other agency. It's part of the work that we're charged with. So I think that these words say in consultation with. We're not saying we have that whole department up and running, but at least we'll be able to look at and consult and perhaps suggest where they can best get the intelligent input that they need in order to have the best plan. So I think it just keeps our foot in the door, make sure that the best that can be done is done according to, in our estimation. And after all, we're the ones that are going to care the most because it's our charge to take care of those resources.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say that I think going forward, once we have an approved plan, we are going to have to look at the resources that we're going to need, and maybe we will have to have somebody with, you know, with forestry skills. But for now, I think I agree with Tracy to leave in consultation with the Highlands Council is adequate.
I think in the general term, a number of the public comments we've received on the draft plan go to this point, and a number of them support what you're saying as a way to go forward. I had no problem with doing it this way for this particular project, but that's, can we vote on the Kurtz Amendment?
Well, I would just remind everybody that forestry practices and forestry management isn't specifically exempted in the law. And I know that there is a reference to us establishing, or correct me if I'm wrong, I don't have the law in front of me, but we can only establish practices that are approved by the state forester. Is that correct? There is a specific reference in there that references the state forester. Right. And that we are limited to implement our will by the expertise of the state forester.
This application is not an exempt application. This is a development application. And it happens to infringe upon forest resources. There is an exemption if all you're doing is forestry management in accordance with a licensed forester, but that's a completely different issue. This is a development project.
And what about the oversight of the state forester?
Well, the oversight of the state forester goes with the exemption where you're doing forestry-related activities in accordance with a forest management plan. That's all you're doing.
Right.
This is not that.
So what we're suggesting here then is that if we decide as a council that there should be a forestry management plan as part of a major highlands development,
that's correct,
which we then have authority to act on it, we can tell the applicant that you have to have a forestry management plan, and then it just comes down to how are we going to implement that will. Is it with our own staff or is it through an independent state license
right. And your amendment would, in condition 3 on page 5, take out the words in consultation with the Highlands Council.
Right.
And that's right. What it would do, right? It would say, Somerset County should be required to prepare and implement a forest restoration plan, and just take out that phrase in the consultation.
No.
Okay. Am I clear on that? So let's vote on that amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, raise your hands.
Did anyone second?
Yes. All those in favor of the amendment?
Kurtz,
the amendment to strike the words in consultation with the Highlands Council.
I have seconded.
Okay. All those opposed? Okay. Now we have the resolution on the table to send these two, to send the two recommendations from the committee to DEP as the council's recommendation. Clause in favor of the motion. What?
Yes. Wasn't the intention of these that they would go to the DEP?
Yes.
Boards?
Yes. That these would go on behalf of the full council to DEP. And that's the resolution. All those in favor?
Aye.
In the interest of assisting the applicant to move these forward, I also vote aye.
We had public comment on this issue, which is how we got here, which led to defeating the last motion. This is a substitute for that motion.
Not on this motion.
We've had public comment on this issue, and that's how we got to this point.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have public comment on the resolution.
We voted down the resolution.
Right. On process.
On process. So we put that on the shelf. Now we just voted to send these two applications down to the DEP for.
So we have that public.
Well, I don't know if it's a resolution or a motion. We're not required to have public comment on motions.
Well, we do have public comment on substantive motion, but I thought we had public comment on this issue. That was why I didn't vote public comment. I mean, there was public comment saying we should not set up the process we were about to set up. And
You're at the 98% point right now. I would keep going.
Well, we already made some decisions.
Right. So what we had all those, we got to as far as all those in favor. All those opposed? The motion. Any abstentions? Okay. The motion does carry.
John, since yes. We haven't resolved what we're going to do this point forward with process, I would suggest if somebody feels strongly they want to comment on this, that we should hear them.
Well, we're about to go to the comments next. I would just say to the council that we have to find a way to delegate projects, whether we delegate them to the staff or subcommittees of the council, but both in this interim period and when the plan is adopted, you cannot make permit decisions with a body of 15 people. So I'm not saying the process we had before us was the perfect one, but there has to be a process to delegate.
Right, exactly. And we've had a process where committees meet and committees make recommendations to the council. And that's essentially what happened with these two applications. So I don't see that to be a burdensome process. I think that the committee can continue to do what it has been doing, which is making recommendations.
You know, we're going to have to continue with some kind of a process similar to what we've been doing, where every application is going to be bifurcated and trifurcated and thrown to three different committees, and, you know, and we'll never really have a consistent point of view or that represents the council's thinking.
Well, I mean, it'll be easier when there is a more detailed final plan to measure projects against, but all I'm saying is that it's somewhat inevitable to have what just happened, where if a committee is making recommendations to council on individual projects, we're going to have, as we just did, an hour conversation on two projects where the council members are not going to feel, it's going to be a challenge to make sure we all have enough information to make an informed decision on them, and it's not going to be... It is going to lead to what Tracy said, of having the full council meet every week or every 2 weeks, and that could be a decision we'll make at that point. But all I'm saying is the discussion at the next meeting or the meeting after that on the process is important, that we need to think through how long these are going to take and what the best way is to make sure the council's wisdom and philosophy is a factor in the decision or is reflected in the decisions that are made. But, in terms of public comments, one. Sure.
I'm curious, what did you just vote on?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, can I ask again that people come to the
meeting?
Because for the business of recording, it will make it far easier for us.
Well, I will reflect that one. But David Shope from Long Valley asked what we just voted on. We voted to send as the council's comments on the two applications, comments that were recommended by the Natural Resources Committee.
Is it part of the package that was outside on the desk?
Yes.
So it's...
The memos to the Natural Resource Committee, were they on the desk?
Yeah, we have them if you want.
Okay.
So we just spent a whole bunch of time discussing something, the public, in which we had no information.
No, they were at the Natural Resource Committee meeting.
I asked if they were outside on the desk. I wasn't at the Natural Resource Committee meeting, but as long as you brought it up, this is public comment where I can talk about anything for 3 minutes, right?
Correct.
Okay. I'd like to bring to your attention Pale Mail. Pale Mail was a red-tailed hawk who determined of his own volition with his betrothed, his true love, that his natural habitat was the balcony on an apartment in Fifth Avenue. That's what he said was his natural habitat. And they together raised their young there and did those so for several years. And now I hear talk about we might have the potential for a habitat for something that may or may not be there. I'd say you should go by the example of Pale Mail and include everything as potential natural habitat for everything, except, of course, people. And this, on the process of the way the Natural Resource Committee works, and I've been to several meetings, so I know how they work. Unfortunately, I wasn't at the last one because it came up at the last minute. The Natural Resource Committee is essentially run by two people who are paid by other organizations to be here. Other people attend from time to time. Some people have other commitments. They do not review the work adequately, and this is represented by the way the committee works. And I am all in favor of increasing the size of the Natural Resource Committee to dilute the extreme views of two people. I hope you do this, and I hope the people that now attend the Natural Resource Committee in the future will have a chance to do their homework so that they have a chance to consider the impacts of words that are parsed word by word by specifically two members of the Natural Resource Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comments? Mr. Sherp, you lost a piece of paper.
Thank you.
Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. Again, I am really perturbed that we don't have any information today here for the public about those applications. Are you saying that we have to go to every committee meeting in order to get all the details? Or do you all always get more details that are not available to the public? It's very hard to listen to this resolution and watch you pass it without any information whatsoever about these two. It's also very frustrating. You have in front of you a thick 60-plus page set of comments from the Farm Bureau, and two of the issues that came up in these applications we have strong objections to. One of them is the whole policy about forestry is so full of this kind of plan and that kind of plan. When the woodland management plan has been out there for 25 years, it needs to be totally rethought. And here you are requiring a plan that has no definition. And like Kurt says, who should do it and who should review it are questions that are very important. And the second thing is that in terms of requiring applicants to put deed restrictions on the rest of their land is unacceptable. This is borders on extortion. People should not have to do that. There are plenty of environmental rules, and Lord knows more than ever, that will control and protect the resources. There are a lot of people who don't feel that more and more land controlled by government is a good idea, or even provides very good stewardship. I've seen examples of the deeds that are given to people to fulfill this extortion, and it is very, very punitive. I think all of you should see it. It goes far beyond perhaps what the application was. And whether there's a nexus between what the person is trying to do and everything they're restricted is a legal question I hope somebody will bring up. So that's my frustration. I think the committee should be expanded, or you should have a smart growth committee to also review some of these growth decisions. I agree that you've got to find a way to delegate, but it's got to be, if you're going to delegate, you should delegate to a balanced body that has some expertise.
Good morning, I'm Robin O'Hearn of Sounds Clean. First, I want to welcome Director Swan. I'm very much looking forward to working with you in your new position, and I wish you much success. This past Saturday in West Milford, there was a rally held on the issue of the specially planned areas in the preservation area. It was a very successful rally. We had about 80 people show up and express their opposition to that element of the regional master plan. In addition, the residents of the area have clearly expressed their concern about this element of the regional master plan. They're concerned about the potential expansion of sewers, additional high-density development, and the TDR receiving zones in that area. But you may not be aware that the borough of Ringwood and the township of West Milford have also passed resolutions in opposition to the specially planned areas that have been designated in their towns. And the Passaic County Open Space Committee also passed a resolution, as did most recently the Passaic County Board of Chosen Freeholders on Tuesday evening. So I'm sure those will be making their way to you, and we're pleased that they've supported our position in that regard. I have a copy of a petition that was signed by members attending the rally. I will give that to Executive Director Swan. And I just want to comment on the some of the characterizations of the Natural Resources Committee meetings. I think it's very unfair to say that they're lopsided, or two members are somehow running roughshod over the rest of the committee. Mr. Peterson is on that committee. He was an extremely vocal and strong advocate for the applicant and for the development aspects and the economic viability aspects of those proposals that were brought forward on Monday. Mr. Alstead was not there. Obviously, he had plenty to say about it, but he was not, for whatever reason, at that committee meeting. So to say that this is not a fair and balanced discussion when these meetings take place of the full committee, I think that's a bit unfair. And I would welcome the committee being expanded as well. But I think, the committee worked very, very hard on those applications on Monday and at a prior meeting, which I did not attend. So I think the public should be aware of that. And some of the information that's now being brought forward in this meeting was not shared with that committee. And if they had that information, I'm sure they would have questioned it or discussed it. But unfortunately, that was not shared with them. So I approve of what you did moving those two applications forward today based on the work the committee did. And I hope you continue to take the recommendations very seriously. They're a thoughtful and very, very articulate group. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're back. I think we'll move this up here. I see you, William.
Good morning. Still morning. Another 5 minutes. Well, I've been here before. My name is Andy Drysdale. My wife Lois and I own farmland at 32 East Fox Chase Road in Chester, New Jersey. As I said before, we have been trapped in the preservation area since August of 2004. Some of our land is in the conservation zone of the regional master plan. It has been 3 years now, or over 3 years when you consider the act was proclaimed to be retroactive to March 29th of that year. So, well, it's springtime now, May 2007, and I've been out surveying in the woods for the last couple of weeks. I've seen it. There's a fine crop of skunk cabbage growing in the wetlands. There were some other common types of vegetation and some sickly-looking trees, as those in the wetlands usually are. I saw no signs of any animal life whatsoever, other than a few gnats. On one project, I was locating wetlands flags, as I have done before, as far back as the 1980s. These impervious wetlands were being protected and groundwater being monitored for many years before the Highlands Act land grab. This is just one of the many reasons that this act was so unnecessary. The main excuse that has been used is the production of drinking water. You do not have to stop all development to do this. It could, in many cases, and was already being done with modern technology for filtering water, an environmentally friendly engineering design of septic and other waste systems. I myself have always cared about the environment, but fortunately I realize that there are other important factors to consider. We need to take a much more balanced approach. This act was created by some people with other motives and some well-meaning people who did not see the whole picture. As an example of the latter, the Runny Egg Law, which was fortunately repealed. We need to get out and vote and root out corruption wherever we find it so that the New Jersey Highlands Act ends up in the same trash heap as the Runny Egg Law. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. Also would like to welcome Eileen Swan back to the Highlands Council. Look forward to working with her and you. And I can see she's already been very busy. I would like to make a few comments about the Natural Resources Committee issues. The testimony was actually cut off sort of prematurely after Ms. Buck finished speaking. I think there were other people who wished to speak, but it was turned around.
Sorry, sorry if I missed a hand.
Regarding the Natural Resources Committee, I attended the last several meetings, and I noted Mr. Alsted was not present at either one of them. The review of these amendments is a fairly technical process, and I think that the Highlands Council is really lucky to have some of its members who have some experience in this issue and expertise in this sort of technical matter, which, and I think the council is lucky to do that. The other alternative would be to simply have the staff do all of the reviews on its own. And I think in this case that there are people on the council itself who are willing to take the time and have the expertise to deal with these issues is very important. I think in this case, the council really is simply trying to bring the concerns that are encompassed and included within the draft Highlands Regional Master Plan to the attention of the Department of Environmental Protection. They are not creating new policies. They are basically referencing information that the Highlands Council already has in hand and pointing this information out to the DEP. So I think that the council is lucky to have this committee as it is now functioning. I think the committee has been doing a good job. In terms of the issue of deed restriction, which has been brought up a couple of times here, it has been misrepresented, in fact, by the persons who have brought this up. It came up in one of the specific applications where it was Somerset County's application for a park area, and in fact the county was, you know, the county has absolutely no objections to doing this and could well have been planning on doing this on its own anyway. So it's really a misrepresentation that the council, that the committee was pressing for something that an applicant would have been objecting to. Nevertheless, the idea of restrictions, of limiting development in a way that would comply with the goals of the Highlands Regional Master Plan for that area are certainly it's not something that should not be considered. So I think it was a very reasonable approach to this particular application, which was a quote redevelopment, but it was in fact a park with a small amount of development that was supposed to support financially, to make the park possible financially. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Susan Buck, Oxford, again. I too am disappointed that the public wasn't allowed to participate in the process of reviewing the application, since to me it was a totally different resolution. One was to give the Natural Resources Committee the authority to approve them. Once the council did not give them the authority to approve them and took it, it seemed to me it was a separate thing and we should have been allowed to speak. I don't have the details of it. I was at the Natural Resources Committee and saw some of the things, and I'm concerned if some of the things that were recommended there are still in there. Deed restrictions is one of them. And this is where I think it's crucial for the council to have an understanding and an agreement with where exactly the boundaries are on the Natural Resources Committee. Because as a lay person and a landowner, I'm not understanding the law when I read it to mean that the scope of a review over a water quality management issue is to the extent of the entire project. I am not understanding it to be that way. It makes no sense to me, and the forestry issue is one of them at the Natural Resources Committee meeting was other issues with habitat remediation, which I can't begin to comprehend how you can tell an applicant that they need to remediate a habitat without telling them how, what the rules are. And if you tell them to come back to the Highlands Council, well, what is that? It's just this vague bureaucratic morass that we're sending these people into. And, you know, first of all, I think it should only be in terms of the water quality is what we're, you know, the scope I thought was going to be very small on these reviews. I didn't think it was going to go to the extent of the entire project. It clearly has gone to the extent of the entire project. And now we've set a precedent and have approved these recommendations that are way beyond legislative intent, way beyond what any normal person that's applying for something is thinking is going to happen to them. And then they're going to end up with these vague things of species lists that don't exist. On the one application, there's two different species lists, the one that the applicant addressed, and then the one that the Highlands Council has. There were two different sets of species, and in fact, they conflicted with each other. So then we have to get into the unbelievable argument of habitat restoration for the wood turtle versus habitat restoration for the hawk, which wants to have it be fields. It's just beyond my ability to comprehend. I think it's important that the exact scope of what the review is going to be is there, that when we're making recommendations of what the applicant needs to do, that we have a way of making them possible to achieve, to tell them to come back to the Highlands Council for a woodland thing. That, I mean, that makes no sense. They're not going to know how to do that. And the same thing with habitat restoration. What does that mean? Do you build woods? Do you cut the trees down? Where do you make sure that the nature is interfered with till the end of time? I'm assuming the deed restrictions are still in with the other applications, so I would like to voice a concern. Just because an applicant volunteers to do something does not mean it's a wise decision to put that recommendation into something that the DEP is going to look at. It sets a precedent. It's not right. The next applicant is not going to want to volunteer deed restrictions, almost guaranteed. That's it.
Good afternoon. Just a couple of things. Monique Purcell from the Department of Agriculture. Number one, we'd like to welcome Mylene to her new position. We look forward to working with you and your staff. The second thing is you'll be receiving the Department of Ag's comments as well as the State Board comments on the master plan today, most likely. In terms of the committee discussion, we do support expanding the committee members. We think that makes a lot of sense. And I would also ask that if it's possible to go back to a meeting date that we can focus on. I think when we were ramped up putting the plan together, I think Thursdays were kind of the day for the Highlands. I understand that the Natural Resource Committee had a backlog, but if we could reestablish that and have it maybe Thursdays be the day for subcommittees, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Just on that point, I was going to mention that at the end, but I'll mention it now. I mean, we have, just to remind members, we have set aside, or we've tried to set up committee meetings on Thursdays and ask that as much as possible you hold Thursdays on your calendar, but it's not always possible to have the committee meetings on Thursdays and then we do it another day. And for the public, too, to recognize that most committee meetings are not being on Thursdays.
John,
yes.
Can I ask, too, that we remember to notify the council members before? For
yes.
Transition, we may have not noticed
yes.
on some
of all council members learn about all committees.
I think you pointed at me.
I did.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I'm sure you all know this, but pale male is a red-tailed hawk. He definitely is not threatened or endangered because he's really adaptive, as he's shown. So he's got nothing to do with threatened and endangered species. My request is, a lot of what we've been talking about today has to do with the wastewater management planning rules. And a lot of what you're going to be doing in the future has to do with the new water quality management planning rules, which incorporate the wastewater management planning rules. And there's a tremendous misunderstanding, both on the part of some members of the council, of what these rules do, what it is that you're making recommendations on, and certainly on the part of the public, some of whom think this is only about wastewater. It's not. It's about planning. It would be very helpful if at some point there were a presentation, certainly to the council members, because I think there are only a few of you who I think really understand what they do. I think it would be really helpful to you as you go forward because it's going to influence everything else that you do, and it's you don't want to be finding yourself making recommendations and then seeing the department completely ignore your recommendations because it doesn't fit with what you're being asked to do and what they need you to do. So I think a better understanding of those rules would be very helpful to you. Also, I think, a presentation on deed restrictions, which are widely used, maybe disliked by some, but widely used, legally supported, and that too would be helpful, if that is possible. I too would request that there be a predictable committee schedule. It's very hard. We actually did know that you had this meeting, but your agenda didn't go up until yesterday afternoon. So for anybody who's trying to decide whether or not they're going to come, and it predicates that decision on what you're going to be talking about, it's a little hard. But to not even know in advance until 24 hours ahead of time that you're having a meeting, I know you've been trying to do an awful lot in a very short period of time, and I know it's difficult trying to get everybody together, but almost that makes it almost more important that your committee meetings be predictable so that everybody knows when they are, can put them in their calendar, so that Mr. Peterson can tell his client, I'm sorry, but I have to be somewhere else that day. You know, it's 2 weeks away. It would really be very helpful. And I just want to welcome Eileen Swan to the council and to thank all of those council members who bring different and distinct and sometimes tremendous skills and experience to the work that you're doing. Kurt must sometimes feel a little lonely being the only farmer, but he very well represents the agricultural community. And so just as Tracy and Tim bring tremendous knowledge that is extremely pertinent to what you're doing. Personally, I wish you'd all listen to them a lot more. But and then, of course, there's municipal experience and county experience, and everybody has a role to play, and I think it's unfortunate when council members are being attacked. Thank you very much.
I guess the predictable committee schedule will allow Kurt to tell his crops when to grow it.
It'll allow him to tell you when he can't be here.
I would comment that I did request the evening meetings, and the reality is, if you want my participation in this committee, and I'm willing to participate in natural resources, the next 6 months I can't do daytime meetings. It costs me money to be here, and I've got 22 people on staff at home, and I can tell you that just before I left, the key machine broke down, and I left. And it had a severe impact on the productivity and profitability of my business right now to do this. So I make council meetings a priority. Committee meetings are under that. And I can do a predictable nighttime, once-a-month meeting that fits with my schedule, I can do. And that's the reality, and that's probably the reality for some other members here as well. But daytime meetings for the next 6 months, committee meetings, are going to be very difficult. Right?
Anyone else want to make comments? Okay, last comment for.
Before he sits down, I'd like to congratulate Scott.
Thank you.
It will change your life forever.
Oh, I'm sure it will. My name is Scott Olson. I'm speaking today as a private citizen from Byram Township, but as Jack alluded, I'm a councilperson-elect there as of Tuesday, which I'm looking forward actually to working on conformance issues with you. And welcome, Eileen. I have a press release and some statements here from a past event that we did that I want to give to you to bring you up to speed. First off, I want to address something Kurt said, and with all respect, Kurt, I think you people are the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council, and to say that you're going to tell a public agency, that you're overburdening us or you're wasting our time, I think that's shirking your responsibilities. And I feel that up until this point, I've been really patient with the fact that you haven't been engaged in applications for exemptions, the impacts of exemptions. And I think you need to take more effort, whether it means an extra meeting or delegating to your subcommittees to do that. One example would be areas where you've got a water deficit with an exempted development, 500 homes. You have volumes of knowledge and volumes of information that can be applied to that and say, look, you're in an area where there's a water deficit. You're exempted, but what can we do to either acquire this land or to find a better source for the water that's going to be needed for that development? So you need to be responsive and you need to comment on that. As far as your comment period being over on May 11th, I had a couple things I'd like to express to all of you. I've been a little busy the last 2 months, so I haven't had a chance to put them into writing. But I believe your land use capabilities map is not a planning map, and it's really just a map of current conditions. It shows you where there's development, it shows you where there's forest, it shows you where there's areas of contiguous preserved land, but it does not show you planning. I think it's missing environmental constraints, it's missing no-build areas, which were required by the Act. It has no, in the whole regional master plan, there's no 70% impervious cover map, although that's something that's defined as a limit for redevelopment. You've somewhere made a policy decision to use 30% as impervious cover for establishing these planned community and specially planned zones. And as I said, I've got some comments here I'd like to give to Eileen. We've mailed them to Tom in the past. I believe that the purple zones, the planned community zones, are totally inappropriate within the preservation area. The thought of putting in sewer lines in an area that's been specifically acted on by the Act to have them removed, and now with the new water quality management rules, where the, if it's not in the ground, it shouldn't be put there. I think that to look at doing dense developments around lakes and streams, some of which have now been classified C1 by the new DEP rules, you need to change that whole thought, at least in the preservation area, of pursuing any added development. I think it's a burden on areas that we're trying to protect. And like I said, you're the Water Protection and Planning Council. Plan to protect that water. Thank you.
Tony McCracken, I'm the Assistant Planning Director for Somerset County, and had the opportunity to come and present the other day to the committee. And just, you know, want to thank the committee because they were very... you know, very open with us. They asked the right questions. I didn't feel that there was any particular, you know, attitude or a preconceived notion about where the application was going. I think the committee responses were well balanced. There were folks. I just had to sit back. I mean, they were sort of challenging each other on certain aspects of this, and basically asked me for factual information, which was good. As far as a committee structure, I think it's good to have a committee that makes recommendations for the board. When there's big projects that need the full board's attention, they could be brought up to it. If an applicant feels that they've been somewhat dealt with unfairly during the committee structure, they can bring that as an appeal to the full board. But if you have a backlog, and if this is an interim time period, I think you do have to have a committee structure. If it's expanded, maybe so, if you feel it needs to be. But I think that sort of a committee structure with recommendations is very good, because there was... I was here for 3.5 hours the other day. There was a lot of effort that went into this and a lot of good questioning that went in on it. In our case, we basically told the committee what we were looking to do and the kind of conditions we wanted to do. And we feel this is a real gem of a property, and we want to see that the right thing go there. So we were looking for council comments and recommendations. I could understand that in some cases, there's a fear that in other future applications, some of the conditions might be onerous. I could understand that. Because I know I sometimes question some of the things that, you know, I hear that the council may be considering. And that's part of the growing process, you know. But right now, the way the DEP is set up, they put these plans out for a 30-day public comment, 60-day governmental comment. Quite frankly, you've exceeded that, you know, on our application. DEP could take action. We didn't challenge that. We wanted your comments. We want to make sure that when this is developed, it's done in a way that it's consistent with what we're hoping to do with the county, and what you guys are giving us is guidance and new data and information. So in our case, it worked out okay, but I also do appreciate the fact that the committee members and some of the council members are looking at the long range for other applications that come in. You know, this application is unique, and the results and the opinion should be contained to this application. Possibly in other cases, there may need to be some other, you know, avenues considered for treatments. But I got to say that we've had a very good experience, you know, with the committee structure, tirelessly worked through this, asked good questions. When I had comments or concerns, they took it to heart, they discussed it, whether they agreed or not. In some cases, I won't go to that. But we understand the rationale, and I'm happy with the results, quite frankly. That's all.
We normally only accept complaints below. Someone got
their hand up?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Sylvia Kovacs, Warren County Environmental Commission. I'd like to speak just briefly to the issue of DEP recently announcing their update of C1 waterways to be published in, I think, the 21 May register. There was some comment put out to the public recently making the characterization that DEP in announcing their C1 designations as undermining the work and making an end run around the Highlands Council and the draft RMP. For the record, I'd like to inform the Council that there have been those of us, Warren County Environmental Commission included, that have been working on not only C1 designations, but the discussions with DEP on the methodologies for C1s for several years, way before 2004 and the enactment of the Act. I'd also like to reiterate that this also goes back to the issue, as some of us have been bringing up these many, many months, of the need for MOAs and MOUs with other state agencies as happening sooner rather than later, as well as the push to get the final RMP out also sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments?
Tracy? Yes, I just wanted to say something for the record. It has been stated that some members of this council, perhaps myself being included, is paid for being here. I'm not paid for being here. My organization does not pay for my time on this council. I, like every other council member here, gives my time as a volunteer. We are all volunteers, and we're giving this time in public service to the position we were appointed to. I am not paid. The hours and the minutes that I spend here, I have to make up for weekends and nights to get my job done, my professional job. So I just want to, for the record, say I am not paid for any minute I spent on this council. Thank you.
Okay. We have two items discussed in executive session. The general nature of the subjects to be discussed include the report on pending litigation, one issue, Warren County et al. Versus the state of New Jersey, and the other is New Jersey Builders Association versus the Highlands Council. The Open Public Meetings Act permits the public body to exclude the public from that portion of the meeting at which the public body discusses any pending or anticipated litigation or any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege. So I would entertain a resolution to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. When, as I said at the outset, when we come out of executive session, we'll meet for, I would imagine, 10 to 20 seconds and summarize what happened in the executive session. Our next scheduled meeting is June 7th at 4 p.m. Thank you all for coming.
Hey, John. I have a conference. Are we taking a break? I'm going to get people back. Can we take a break? Can we take a break?